Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and this is episode 17. And this episode, this topic is near and dear to my heart because I have experienced this time and time again, and I know that my fellow followers of Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are experiencing this as well. And this was something that honestly I was not prepared for when I said yes to following Christ. And that is spiritual warfare. That is going to be our topic today, is spiritual warfare. And this may actually turn into a two-parter, depending on how much time this takes, because I really want to talk with you guys and cover what is spiritual warfare, why are we getting attacked, what does it look like, how can it manifest, how does the devil attack us. Like, I really want to get in depth on that, and that might take a whole episode. But I also want to get in depth with y'all on how to step into your authority, how to stand against the spiritual warfare, how to defend yourself, how to be protected, how to move forward, because that is also important. It's also important to know how to combat spiritual warfare, and that might take two episodes, and that is okay. And I pray that this is gonna hit for somebody. And I know that this is gonna hit for me to talk about. I love to talk about spiritual warfare. I love to talk about spiritual warfare, and I think it's because of how much knowledge I have on it. And I'm not saying that from a bragging place of, oh, I read a lot of books or I read a lot. I know about warfare because I've been through the warfare, like time and time again. When it comes to deliverance and spiritual battles and opposition, I feel like I have experienced it so much that there's just so much I picked up, and I know that there are people out here today who need to hear about it. And honestly, y'all, I've been going through a season of spiritual warfare. I have been facing so much opposition. Like, the past month and a half, I would honestly say the past, since May, the warfare has been crazy. And it's really amped up the past couple months. So, yeah, this is a very present and very relevant topic. And I want to start with reading some scripture to y'all. And we're going to read Ephesians 6 in the English Standard Version, starting in verse 10, the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. So I want to start there, and I want to remind you guys right now that we are not in a battle of flesh and blood. We are in a battle of principalities. I will tell you right now, on this podcast, we believe that everything is spiritual. There are so many people out there who will say that not everything's spiritual. I'm here today to tell you everything is spiritual. It's either from God or it's not. There is no gray area when it's who it comes from. It's not from the God, from the devil, or from question mark. It's from God or is it from the devil? It's from God, it's being used by God, or it's being used by the enemy. Who's it from? There is a constant battle between good and evil going on in our world. I want to make that very clear. And the good is from God. And the evil is from the devil. There's not that middle area. There's not a half and half guy. There's not a middleman. It's God or it's Satan. I want to just make that very clear here right now. When I'm referring to the enemy, when I say the enemy, I am referring to the devil. I'm referring to the wickedness, the darkness, those principalities. Now, I also want to make it very clear, when it says in scripture that this is not a battle of flesh and blood, this is a battle of principalities, that's saying that the devil, the enemy, he is using people here in the flesh. It's so easy for us to look at someone doing something harmful to us and say that person is our enemy. But we need to be looking at the spirit behind the actions. Now, I'm not saying that we remove accountability from that person. If that person is being a vessel for the devil, if that person is being a vessel for harmful actions, things like that, of course there is a level of accountability. But when we're warfaring, we're not going toe-to-toe with the person. We're going at the spirit behind it. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. It is principalities. So don't look at that person as the enemy. Look at the spirit behind them. And that takes a while, honestly, to get used to doing. And when I first heard that, I'm going to be real with y'all. When I first heard separate the spirit from the person, I got really cynical. I saw that as not holding a person accountable. It was really hard for me to separate. I was still looking at people as my enemy. But I'm telling y'all right now, you need to practice. I just want to start off saying this. Separating the spirit from the person. You're going to be able to warfare a lot better to combat the warfare when you're praying against the spirit and not praying against the person. Okay? When you're looking at it as you're fighting the devil instead of fighting the person, you also start taking your control out of it that shouldn't be there. Because, you know, when we're looking at it as we're just going toe-to-toe with Billy Bob over here or Brittany Lynn and just making up names, we can start to, like, rely on our own strength and our own understanding and start to think about the ways that we personally, like, can combat that person. If it's verbally, if it's physically, we start to think about the ways that we can handle them. But when you start looking at it as you're not going toe-to-toe with Billy Bob, you're not going toe-to-toe with Brittany Lynn, you're going toe-to-toe with the same spirit that influenced Jezebel, the same spirit that influenced Delilah, the same demonic spirits that influenced Judas. Like, when you start looking at it as, okay, no, I'm actually going toe-to-toe with those entities, I'm actually going toe-to-toe with those spirits, you start to become more likely to say, okay, so that means I handle this with prayer. Okay, that means I handle this with fasting. Okay, that means I hand this to the Lord. You start to handle it spiritually as you're supposed to. So I just want to spell that out right now, but you need to be looking at these things as a spiritual battle, a battle of principalities, and not a battle of flesh and blood. Now, y'all, when I first started experiencing spiritual warfare, it was actually what I mean by this, we are experiencing spiritual warfare whether or not, like, we're fully surrendered to Christ and whether we're reading our Bibles or not. The devil is still tempting, the devil is still whispering in ears, he's still moving, he's still trying to create separation between you and Christ, he's still trying to use you. In fact, if you don't know the word of God, if you're not actively trying to pursue a relationship with Christ, you're a lot easier for the devil to manipulate and use. Remember, y'all, Satan, Lucifer, fell from heaven. He took a third of the angels with him. These were divine beings that were supposed to be strong, that were supposed to be knowledgeable. These were beings that had a seat in heaven. These were beings that, like, knew God like that. and they were still able to be manipulated and fall from heaven, you best believe our human minds are a lot easier. Are a lot easier. And Satan's been around for a very, very long time using these same tactics. Okay. I want to make that clear. Satan is the father of lies. He is the lowercase g god of this world. He is deceptive. He moves. The difference between a blatant lie and deception is there's some truth sprinkled in with it. And that's the way Satan loves to move, is he'll sprinkle in a little bit of truth and then lies on top of it. It's a lot harder to get you to fall for something or buy something that's a total lie. But once it's deception, it's easier for the devil to move that way. But y'all, when I started really becoming aware of spiritual warfare, it was when I was in New Age spirituality. So this was before I surrendered my life to Christ. This was before I knew about the armor of God. This was before I knew to pray to handle things. This was before I was relying on God. This was before I was relying on Jesus Christ. And when I was in New Age spirituality, when I would hear spiritual attack and warfares, I was thinking witchcraft because I knew people that participated in witchcraft. There's a whole section on a social media app that has hashtags with millions of views of people teaching each other how to do it. You know, I knew people who were attempting to do their astral projecting and their necromancy and their psychic mediumship. So when I heard attack, when I heard spiritual attack, when I heard warfare, I immediately thought people are putting things in jars. People are summoning their what they believe to be deities, which I know are demons now. Like that was my view, was flesh and blood summoning spirits. That was my perspective on it. That was the way I viewed things. So my mind always went to someone's doing witchcraft. Someone's cooking up the candles, someone's cooking up the incantation, someone's cooking up the death work, someone's cooking up the psychic mediums. Like someone's going to a psychic, someone is entering the spirit world illegally. When I say that someone is entering the spirit world illegally, I mean that someone is doing it without God. And a lot of people in New Age are doing that. That's what psychic mediums are doing. That's what the witches are doing. That's what the tarot card readers are doing. I know y'all because I was a tarot card reader. I knew the Reiki healers. I knew the psychics. I knew the witches. I knew that I was deep in it. I saw a lot of things. I learned a lot of things. I studied a lot of things, y'all. So when I heard warfare, that was what I imagined. And I was getting attacked by the devil pretty frequently. I was also being used by the devil pretty frequently. And when I tell y'all that, I'm not going to go too much in on that. But the way that I sought to protect myself was not the way I know to protect myself as a follower of Christ now. The way that I knew to protect myself at the time was use crystals, wear crystal bracelets, do crystal healings, doing types of cleanses, doing types of healing work. Like it was burning different, like incense, and doing just all these different things, different kind of baths, different kind of oils. It was always about cleansing yourself and like returning it, which turned into some weird like ping pong game in your brain. I'm telling y'all right now that the answer to spiritual warfare is not in New Age spirituality. I'll be the first to tell you that the answer to spiritual warfare is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. See, we might end up just merging the two episodes into one because I feel like it's hard for me to split half and half. Anyway, so my first introduction with spiritual warfare was when I was in New Age spirituality. So it was a losing battle, right? Overall, it's a losing battle because you're just in your mind, you're just returning it and you're just ping ponging it back and forth, and there's no end all be all. Now, once I gave my life to Christ, is when I started to have a different understanding of spiritual warfare. I'm gonna tell y'all right now that when you are following Christ, you are going to be a target for the devil. You're actually more of a target for him to take out, to hold back, to delay than you are when you're not following Christ. Because when you're not pursuing a relationship with Christ, when you're not trying to bring other people closer to the kingdom of heaven, you're not as big of a, you're not a threat to the devil. When you are not actively trying to bring other people closer to Christ, when you're not showing the love of Jesus Christ to other people, when you are not actively pursuing a relationship with him, the devil does not have as much of a reason to try to stop you or try to block you. If you're already walking in separation, you're already drifting away, he doesn't have to do as much to knock you off the path. So you'll actually notice spiritual warfare start to pick up when you are pursuing a relationship with the Lord and when you're growing in closeness with him. You can think of yourself as being almost on the front lines. And when you're on the front lines in an army, in a military group, you're the first to get shot at. You're the first to get hit. You're the first to get attacked. So someone needs to hear that today, that like giving your life to Christ and pursuing a relationship with Christ doesn't remove you from the devil's radar. It actually puts you higher up on his hit list. It actually puts more of a target on your back, which also means that you need to be walking in with the Lord more and getting your strength from the Lord more. Going to Him for your daily bread, going to Him for your provision, going to Him for your sustenance, continuing to go to God. So someone needs to hear today, if you're facing spiritual warfare and you give your life to Christ, the spiritual warfare isn't going to stop. Giving your life to Christ doesn't promise an easy life. Pursuing a relationship with Christ doesn't promise an easy life. So if you've given your life to Christ, if you're trying to be more Christ-like, if you're trying to pursue a relationship with him, if you've been saying yes to God more and being obedient more, and you've noticed the warfare picking up, you're probably on the right path. Now let's talk about why the devil attacks you when you're saying yes to the Lord. I think the very obvious reason is to stop you, to block you, to delay you, to deter you. The devil's petty, and he lost his chance at heaven. So his way of getting back at God is getting back at God's children. His way of getting revenge, his way of getting his lick back, is to prevent us from going to heaven, is to prevent us from having a relationship with the Lord. So that's the devil, that's Satan's main goal, is to stop us from having a relationship with the Lord, is to stop us from putting our faith in Jesus Christ, is to stop us from developing fruits of the Spirit, is to stop us from breaking generational curses, is to stop us from breaking generational patterns, is to stop us from breaking generational habits. And he does that through warfare. The devil's main goal is to spread the kingdom of darkness, to stop the kingdom of heaven, and to stop us from having eternity with our heavenly Father. And he does that in whatever ways he can. And I'm telling y'all right now, if you have for a while been a really good servant to the devil, if you have for a while been spreading hate and spreading negativity, if you've for a long time been allowing the devil access to your life, living freely in sin, if you were, for an example, y'all, what I was doing when I was in New Age spirituality, whether or not I believed at the time, I told myself I didn't believe in Satan. He was still using me, whether or not I believed in him. And he didn't want to let me go because I was convincing other people to try out New Age spiritual practices, which meant I was useful for him. Because that wasn't leading people closer to Christ, it was leading them away from Christ. So even though I didn't think I was leading people to the devil, since I was leading people away from Christ, I was doing the devil's job. What's funny is like when I was like freely tarot reading in New Age spirituality, not really having a lot of doubts or second guesses, the spiritual warfare wasn't that bad. It was when I would start thinking I want to do something different with my life. It was when I started thinking I want to break away from this, I want to stop doing this, when all of a sudden the warfare would pick up. It's literally when you try to step away and you try to break away is when the warfare picks up more. Because the devil also doesn't want to lose you as a foot soldier. So if you've been doing really good for him, whether or not you realize that's what you've been doing, and you try to do better with your life, let's say you try to break free of addictions, you try to break free of patterns, you try to be forgiving, you try to be loving, all of a sudden you notice the warfare pick up. Yeah, that's because the devil doesn't want you to break those habits. He wants you to be the old version of yourself, the unhealed version. The version that's spreading hate, that's spreading anger, that's spreading animosity, that's spreading unforgiveness, that's spreading lies, that's spreading deceit. The devil wants that version of you. And even when you have broken off those things, he will try to tempt you to go back. He will try to tempt you back into those things. He will try to lead you away in another area. He will try to break you down in another area. It's not like you surrender your life to Christ and you break some of these patterns off, or you break some of these things off, and the devil's like, dang, I lost them. I just won't try at them anymore. They're too far gone. Now, he's still going to try to grab you by the ankle. But we know that Jesus Christ already defeated the devil on the cross. So I want to make it very clear that when we are operating in spiritual warfare, like, we are operating out of a place of victory when we're surrendered to Christ, because Christ already defeated Satan on the cross. When Christ went to the cross, he has already defeated Satan. We already see how it's going to play out in the book of Revelation. We already know that the devil has lost. He's still playing as if he has an opportunity to win, but we know that the devil has already lost. So when we are standing in the authority that Jesus Christ gave us, when we are standing against the opposition, when we are standing against the devil, we are operating out of a place of victory. Someone needs to remember that today, that it has already been done. It is already finished. The devil's acting like it's not finished, and he would love in your mind to convince you that it isn't finished and that he hasn't been defeated, but he has been defeated. And it is a losing battle for him, and it is a place of victory for us. There is no higher currency than Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. That's why crystals aren't going to protect you from spiritual attacks. That's why psychic mediums aren't going to protect you from spiritual attacks. That's why your evil eye bracelets. That's why your incense. That's why your all of these things that are man-made created are not going to protect you, because there is no higher currency than the currency of Jesus Christ's blood that was spilled on the cross. That's why the devil tries to imitate it so much. If y'all haven't watched it, I really recommend you go watch it. I know his name is Ryan. I cannot remember his last name. I believe it's Miller. I could be wrong. But he has, I believe it's called the Jesus People Podcast. And I watched episodes recently where he interviewed a man who used to be the leader of a satanic church, who has surrendered his life to Christ, who for years now has done deliverance ministry and has confirmed these things. He has literally talked about the sacrifices and the different things that they would try to do, and how the devil tries to imitate what Christ has done. That's why the devil tries to do animal sacrifices, spilling of blood. That's why the devil in spell work asks people to give blood. That's why people do blood magic, is it's an imitation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But there is no topping Jesus Christ's blood. So when you surrender your life to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, when you put your faith in him, and when you stand in the authority that he has given you, and you plead the blood of Jesus over your life, and you plead the blood of Jesus over your family and your friends, that is a covering that the devil can't top. The Lord never said that the weapons wouldn't form against you, but he said that they wouldn't prosper. And when you have the blood of Jesus as your covering, that is all you need. You don't need all of the anointing oil. You don't need the evil eyes. You don't need any of that. The devil can triumph over those things. Those things are man-made, but he cannot triumph over the blood of Christ that was spilled when he went to the cross. Someone needed to hear that today. That is our victory, is the blood of Jesus. And you need the blood of Jesus. Some people think, well, I only need Jesus to, like, eternity in heaven. Like, some people think of Jesus just as Savior in that way. Of, yes, he went to the cross and he paid the debt for our sins. But I'm telling y'all, the blood of Jesus is your protection in this lifetime, in this world. The blood of Jesus is your covering. The blood of Jesus does so much. There's a reason why we don't have to give sacrifices to the Lord for forgiveness, for repentance anymore, because Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. His blood transcends any and everything, y'all. So now we've covered why the devil attacks. We've covered why he attacks, and we've covered that as a follower of Christ, that doesn't mean that you're not going to get attacked. If anything, you might get attacked more. But there's also a protection you have as a follower of Christ that you're not going to have in the world, which is the blood of Christ. Because I know when I finally put two and two together, the first question I kind of had in my head is, wow, if you get attacked more as a follower of Christ, who wants to follow? Like, wouldn't that lead a lot of people away if the spiritual warfare is just going to pick up more? But I'm telling y'all that there is also a protection that you don't have in the world. So yes, you might get zoned in on more by the devil, but you're also protected more and you're actually able to win the battles. You're actually able to conquer over him. When you're looking at all these other ways and all these other solutions, all you're doing is playing a game of ping pong and going back and forth and creating more separation between you and Christ because you're relying on yourself and your own understanding. And then it's just, I don't want to say it's harder to get back, but like, y'all, the longer that when you hop on a train that you're not supposed to be on, the longer you're on it, it's kind of like the longer it's going to take to ride back. You are going to be, I'm not saying that you can't get. Like, you step off and you can't get back with the Lord. That's not what I'm saying, because Jesus Christ has forgiven me for things that, like, other people told me were unforgivable. I'm just saying that, like, the longer you go off the path, you might end up picking up some stuff that's going to be harder to let go of. That might be more to heal and more to work through when you're coming back around. Because that's the thing is, like, when the devil hits us with warfare, he wants us to start thinking, oh, this is too hard. What's the point of following Christ? What's the point of waiting? Devil wants us to get impatient. Devil wants us to grow weary. He wants us to grow tired. He wants us to throw in the towel. He wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. He wants us to turn back to our old ways. He wants us to turn back to our old habits. He wants us to turn back to our old selves. I'm gonna give y'all some examples of spiritual warfare that I faced in my life. When I first gave my life to Christ, the spiritual warfare, like, really hit. And I'll tell y'all, mentally it hit so badly. The intrusive thoughts I had, the negative thoughts, that's one way that the devil's gonna manifest. That's one way that spiritual warfare is gonna manifest, is with the most intrusive thoughts. I started having suicidal thoughts. I started having the most depressive thoughts of, like, there's no point, you shouldn't even be here anymore, just end it all. It's gonna keep going in a cycle. Like, when I tell y'all, like, the most hopeless thoughts of, like, God doesn't really forgive you, God isn't really gonna come through. Like, warfare for me really started on the mental of trying to create fear and trying to create anxiety and trying to create doubt. The devil was really coming from my mind, and sometimes it would be for like weeks at a time. When I would know I heard from the Lord of like, don't get a job here, you're gonna have provision and move back. The devil started telling me the opposite of what God told me, of saying, no, you need to go get a job, you need to do this, you need to take whatever this opportunity is or whatever this opportunity is. The devil started telling me I didn't hear that from God and telling me the opposite of what I've heard. The spiritual warfare was crazy because some of it seemed like small things at first where it didn't seem too bad. And then some of the things were chaotic and crazy. It were some of the most intrusive thoughts that, like, me in a normal day would not be having those thoughts. So that's one way that the devil comes at you, is through your thoughts. He will come at you physically. I've seen spiritual warfare manifest as sicknesses, as injuries. There was a time when I sprained both my ankles right after I was obedient and started adding this new routine, this new thing to my life, this new exercise. I really felt the Lord guiding me to add this new routine to my life. And as soon as I started adding it, it was going really good. And then all of a sudden, bam, sprained ankles. Bam, sickness. Like, all of these things that should prevent me from continuing to do it. And it actually had me laid up for a couple weeks. But once that couple weeks was over, I got back to what I know God called me to do. It delayed me, but it didn't deter me. Spiritual warfare can manifest through sickness, through injury, through illness. We see it in the book of Job. We see, like, when the devil had permission to take things away from Job, that's the perfect example of spiritual warfare. He struck Job with sickness. He took out his family. He took out his house. Like, he took everything. And what was the devil's attempt in that situation? It was to, he was trying to get Job to turn away from God. He was trying to get Job to curse God. He was trying to get Job to lose gratitude and to stop praising the Lord. Because that story, the book of Job, started out with God saying, "Have you not seen my servant Job? Like, you know, isn't he so loyal, basically? Like, isn't he the best?" And the devil was like, "Well, he's only like that because you gave him everything. If you took it all away, he wouldn't like you. He wouldn't praise you." That was the devil's main goal, was to get them to curse God and to turn away from God. But Job, you know, Job was feeling a lot of things. He didn't handle it perfectly, and God even gave him a little bit of, like, a straightening out talking to. But he didn't fully turn away from God. Another way that warfare manifests is another attack of the devil would be using people around me. And that's why I established in the beginning of this podcast, this is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is a battle of principalities, because the devil will work through people close to you. And you'll be tempted to start taking your anger out and your frustrations out on those people instead of remembering that it's the spirit operating behind it. You'll be tempted to start holding people in unforgiveness and doing all of that instead of remembering that it's the devil using these people. Now, I'm not saying that you don't set boundaries with these people, because if they're allowing the devil to operate through them, if they have open doors of sin in their life and they are just allowing the devil to operate through them, yes, you need to set boundaries. You need to go to God on how to handle these people. You know, you don't allow yourself to just be taken advantage of or completely ran over, but God will show you how to set those boundaries. But you need to pray for these people. You need to forgive these people. You need to pray that those doors of sin are closed and that they dedicate their lives to the Lord so that they're no longer a tool of the devil. Someone needs to hear that today. When people are allowing the devil to move through them, you need to pray for them. Pray that however God needs to move in their life, he will move in their life, but he will move to a point where those doors are closed and those doors are sealed, where they are submitted to the Lord, where they follow the Lord. But I've seen the devil move through people to start speaking doubt over me. People that were really close to me that I love, that started, you know, when I would be trying to fast, when I knew that God called me to fast and I started doing fasts, there was someone close to me who would give me the hardest time and make me so guilty for fasting. Who would even say, "I don't know if I would want a God that makes me deny myself." Like, where they were starting to talk bad about God, saying, "What God asks you to deny yourself, to deprive yourself? Who does God think he is?" kind of energy. Like, basically trying to get me and my pride and my ego to think, yeah, why do I need to fast? Why do I need to deny myself? Trying to get me gluttonous, trying to get me greedy. God, Jesus called us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. Whoever dies to himself will save his life. You know, whoever loses his life will save it. As followers of Christ, we are supposed to deny the flesh, like, all the time. And I had someone whispering in my ear close to me saying, "Oh, that's not right, denying yourself." And that was a way to try to get me angry at God, trying to get me upset at God, trying to get me to second guess what I know God told me to do. And, you know, I didn't, putting on the armor of God, that wasn't able to take root. But, you know, I've had warfare of, like, people deciding to kick me out. Like, someone I was living with, like, throwing me out where I lived. And that was around the time when I was being obedient to the Lord. Notice how a lot of times this warfare picks up when I have just said yes to the Lord, or when there is a breakthrough coming soon from the Lord. You know, the devil, when he sees that God has something coming your way, he's going to do what he can warfare-wise to try to get you out of position. When you've just made that big step, when you've just broken that chain, when you've just said yes to that thing, the devil will try to get you right back in the bondage that you just got broken free of. He tries to tempt you to go back to your Egypt. You know, I've seen the devil move through people close to me with gaslighting me, like trying to get me angry and trying to get me upset and trying to get me to crash out. I've seen the devil try to, God doesn't remind you of your past. Jesus isn't always reminding you of your past. He is forgiving you. You're a new creation in Christ. It's the devil that will remind you of your past constantly. It's your devil. It's the devil that will try to make you feel like you didn't change, you can't change, you can't go back to it. And that's been a big way that I've seen warfare manifest in my life, is the enemy operating through people trying to remind me of my past and who I was, and trying to make me feel like I'm not a new creation, like I can't move on or anything like that. That is not from God. And y'all, I have seen the devil move through people who proclaim Jesus with their lips. I have seen the devil move through people who read scripture, who know it like the back of their hand. But knowing scripture, saying Jesus is Lord, does not mean that you live a life surrendered to Christ. Someone needs to hear today, you need to check the fruit. You need to really check the fruit. Think of the fig tree that Jesus had to curse. That fig tree had a lot of leaves. It looked good on the outside. It looked like it was promising. It looked like it was producing fruit. But the longer you looked at it, it wasn't producing that fruit. Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Is there that joy, that peace, that love, that self-control? Are they forgiving? Someone needs to hear this today too. Are they living like an open, willing sin and not taking accountability? Because yes, we are all sinners, but when you have that consistent open door for sin and you're refusing to close it, you are giving the devil legal access to your life. And when you are choosing that sin and that thing over Jesus Christ and the convictions he's given you and what you know he's called you to do, are you living a life surrendered to Christ? You can think about that man that went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, that rich man that said, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, you have to sell everything you owe. And that man thought about it and decided that it wasn't worth it. He wasn't able to do the thing that Jesus called him to do. And passed up relationship with him. Look at Nicodemus in the Bible, y'all. He was so knowledgeable, all of these things, but he wasn't leaving his life behind. Following Jesus, like being a disciple of Jesus, he would have had to leave things behind. Jesus calls us to leave behind our unhealthy coping mechanisms, our unhealthy habits. And there are a lot of us who say no, who hold on to that thing so tight, and we think that we can have Jesus and that thing. But that's called lukewarm. And I think this is leading us into the next topic of having open doors for the devil and giving him legal access to your life. Because you can be showing up to church, you can read scripture, you can be doing those things and be giving the devil legal access to your life. And I do recommend you go watch that podcast, because this is something that ex-Satanist leader actually talked about. They were trained in this, y'all. They were trained in how to lead Christians away from Christ. They were trained in how to plant seeds. They were trained in how to tempt you into drinking alcohol and fornicating and participating in all these things. And they were literally taught how to lead you astray. And it was like last year that I remember breaking this down in my notes. It was while I was going through deliverance and while I was going through a fast that God revealed to me this. And I remember having it broken down in my notes. So it's kind of crazy for me listening to him say this when I was listening to his episode, because it was like, oh my gosh, this was the same revelation that the Lord gave me when he was revealing to me how spiritual warfare works in that time of fasting. And the first thing that the devil does, y'all, is he starts off with just your mind of planting doubt. The devil tries to create seeds of doubt, seeds of fear, seeds of anxiety. Because the open door for the devil starts with a need, right? And that's created from a fear, a lack, an anxiety, a doubt. A doubt can be that God's not really going to come through, God's not really going to give you provision, that God's not really going to deliver justice, that God's not really going to protect you. I'm just giving you some examples, because those were some doubts that ran through my head. Especially when I was giving my life to Christ, saying, but what if God doesn't come through? What if this? And those doubts start to trigger fear. They start to trigger anxiety, right? Because when you start believing that doubt, or even putting a little bit of faith into, well, there is a chance God might not come through, there is a chance God might not do this. You start to be open to your own control. You start to be open to your own solutions. You start to be open to other methods. I will say, when God tells you something, when God tells you a thing of you're not supposed to be a drunkard, maybe God has given you a sobriety conviction. Maybe God has revealed to you that you are not supposed to be drinking or smoking. Maybe God, see, we see in scripture we're called to not be sexually immoral. But those things are your coping mechanisms. Those things are how you know to handle your stress or your panic or your anxiety. So maybe your seed is an anxiety-inducing situation, a stressful-inducing situation. And then the next step is, well, how do you usually handle that stress, or how do you usually handle that anxiety? In a Christ-like way, we know that we're supposed to take it to the Lord and lay it at his feet. We know we're supposed to get our word. We know that we don't need any substances. We don't need any physical release, those kind of things. Like, I'm talking about, like, fornication and stuff. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But our fear, our doubt, our anxiety, whatever leads us to his coping mechanisms, whispers at us that none of the substances are a better way to handle it. They're quicker. They're more effective. They're more fun. They're less work. They're more reliable. See, what the devil does is he starts with planting fear, doubt, worry, anxiety. It's a trigger, right? It's a trigger. It's a doubt. It's a question mark in your mind. And then the next step is, that's when it starts the whispers of the temptation, or presenting the temptation to you. You know, for example, y'all, when I gave my life, when I knew God had told me not to get a job and to wait on him for provision, and I told y'all the devil was whispering in my ear, I'll tell y'all some of the steps I went through. The first step was starting whispering in my ear, but what if God doesn't come through? What if Jesus isn't real? What if you heard Jesus wrong? What if you are handling it incorrectly? What if just all of these fears and all of these doubts? When I started actually kind of wondering, like, what if I heard him wrong? What if? And then y'all, all of a sudden, and I've shared this testimony before, I won't go too much in it. There was someone who pulled up that at first, the words they were saying, they were like a fig tree, because at first there were leaves. And what they were saying at first looked really good. It sounded good to the ears. It sounded like exactly what I needed. And then the more they were talking, because it sounded like a provision opportunity, a financial opportunity. The more they were talking, I realized that that was not a job that God would have appointed me to. It would have led me straight into sin. It would have led me straight into separation. No matter how much this person was trying to paint it up to sound like a good opportunity. And that was an example there of the devil trying to get me to fall away. Because there was that fear and that doubt being whispered in my ear of, what if God doesn't come through? What if the provision doesn't show up? And then bam, a shiny opportunity of, well, you can create provision for yourself through this opportunity. You might have to sin a little bit. You might have to backslide. You might have to do this thing that you know God told you not to do, but it's here. And I have the opportunity. Do I say yes to that, or do I wait on God? Do I trust in what God told me despite what the devil's whispering in my ear? And glory be to God, I told that person no. But that right there is how the devil moves. He creates the need, and then he presents the opportunity. And what happens when you say yes to that sin? That is when you open a door for the devil. For example, you know that the Lord has given you a sobriety conviction. You know that he has revealed it to you, that you are not to be using substances, especially to cope with problems. But you end up saying yes, and you're wasted. You're trashed. Now the door is open for you. Now you start saying yes to things that you normally wouldn't say yes to. Now you start reacting in ways that you normally wouldn't react. You start lashing out in anger. You start crashing out. You start fornicating. You start turning away from the Lord. That right there is giving legal access. We'll talk, here's one that creeps up that a lot of people don't see, gossip. You know you give legal access to the devil when you're a gossip, when you're a slanderer, constantly talking about other people's business. You're opening up a door for the devil right there. When you are sinning, you are giving the devil legal access to your life. You're opening a door for him to walk in and out. It doesn't matter if you say, well, I rebuke you, Satan. And you, if you're going and doing it the next day or a couple weeks later, keeping that door open, doesn't matter what you're saying with your mouth, he's still walking in. Now you need to close that door. You're scrolling, watching porn. You're opening a door. You're having an affair in person or online. You're opening a door. You're lying, you're deceiving, you're opening a door. Unforgiveness is a big one. You are opening the door for a lot of demonic influences when you are not forgiving. Because forgiveness isn't saying, I forgive you. Forgiving is literally turning that person over to God and not trying to remind them of that thing every day. You have not forgiven a person if you're still trying to make them feel guilty and you still bring it up. Someone needs to hear that today. You haven't forgiven them. You can forgive them, but that's not forgiveness. Continuing to blame your problems on them is not forgiveness. Weighing around to see if they get something bad or trying to make them feel bad or trying to speak death over them, that's not forgiveness. And I'm speaking about that because I felt convicted for that for so long, y'all. I was giving the devil so much access to me when I was holding people in unforgiveness. Unhealed areas. The devil loves to play on unhealed traumas. The devil loves to play on unhealed things. Because when he's able to trigger an unhealed area of us or a trauma, there's a lot of things we will do that are unchristlike. I'm telling y'all that that is a prime spiritual warfare tactic, is creating the need for the sin, creating just the littlest ounce that you might say yes, and presenting you with that opportunity. And once you say yes, that door is open. Now, if you have opened that door, you need to close it. You need to repent, and you need to close that door. You've been sober and you fell off the wagon, you need to get back into that sobriety. And you need to repent to the Lord. You fornicated, you need to repent to the Lord, and you need to cut off that cut off that hookup. Cut off that sneaky link. Cut off that temptation. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Those groups that are leading you to gossip, every time you talk to those people, you end up gossiping. Stop calling them back. Stop hanging out with them. Walk out of the room when you feel the temptation to gossip. There's so many of us that don't want to deny ourselves, saying, well, I don't want to skip hanging out with my friends, or I don't want to have to leave the room. Okay, well, do you want the devil in your life? Let's be so for real right now. Would you rather have that 5 minutes of satisfaction or and give the devil access to your life? Or would you rather deny the flesh and strengthen your relationship with Jesus? Like, be so for real right now. I needed someone to be so for real with me like that. Do you really want to have that one night out at the club, that one short-term hookup, feel good, all of that, and throw out all that work that you've been putting in with the Lord? I'm not saying that you can't come back to it, but I'm saying, y'all, that once you open up a door for the devil, now you have to go through and close it. Now you're picking up baggage that you have to drop, and it's not so easy. It's not so easy. And yes, God can make anything work for our good, but why do you want to be disobedient? Why do you want to go off the plot? Why do you want to make it more difficult than it has to be? I'm telling y'all today that spiritual warfare is legit, and ignoring it doesn't mean it won't ex doesn't make it not exist. Someone needs to hear that today too, because there are some people that I absolutely love that were dealing really bad with spiritual warfare, and when I started trying to explain spiritual warfare to them and how to handle it, they shut it down. They didn't want to hear about it. They tuned it out, and I straight up told them, y'all, I understand you don't want to hear about it. I understand it might be a bit overwhelming. I understand it might be frustrating hearing that you don't have control. You want to hear that it's an easy handle it this way. And me saying it's spiritual and you have to give it to God can be frustrating, but you acting like it doesn't exist is not going to make it stop. It's going to make it easier for the devil because now you don't know how to handle it. You're going to be dealing with some situations longer because you don't know how to handle it. Staying ignorant, remaining ignorant, choosing to remain ignorant to it is not protection. So, y'all, let's talk about how to. I think we'll combine this and we'll make it into one episode. Let's talk now, y'all, about how to protect from spiritual warfare. And we've already discussed it in Ephesians 6, and it comes from putting on the armor of God. It comes from putting on the armor of God. I'm telling y'all, the number one thing you need to do is you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Because you can't be lukewarm. Scripture says that you can be hot, you can be cold, but if you're lukewarm, God will chew you up and spit you out. Someone needs to hear today. If you're just here looking for how to handle spiritual warfare, you can't play with Jesus. You can't play with the blood of Jesus. You can't be in your sin half over here and doing all this, but then saying, but let me try to get covered in the blood. It doesn't work that way, baby. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect to come to Christ. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get it twisted. But once you give your life to Christ, you are also making the active decision that you are going to pursue a Christ-like life. Like you're going to try to be more like Christ. Surrendering to Him is making those active changes. Putting your faith in Him is okay, and I'm going to like try to be more loving. I'm going to do what God leads me to do to develop the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to start closing the door on these sinful behaviors. I'm going to start fleeing temptation. I'm going to start denying the flesh. Someone needs to hear. I just want to be very clear with you. Receiving the blood of Jesus, receiving the covering from Him is putting your faith in Him. But don't come at Him with the intention of, I'm going to be lukewarm. Like, I'm just coming here for protection, but I plan on doing everything with my life. Because God knows your heart, and He knows your intention, and He can see what you're coming at with. Come at Him with a humble heart. That is a better way to word it. Come at Him with a humble heart, an open heart. Okay? But the first thing you need is the blood of Jesus. You need to start pleading the blood of Jesus over your life. You need to start pleading the blood of Jesus over your friends, over your family, over those things that are being attacked. And do this consistently. This isn't a one and done. You need to every day be pleading the blood of Jesus. That is your covering. That is the highest currency. That is the protection. And you need to be stepping into the authority. You, as a follower of Christ, need to know your authority. And you need to be speaking the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. In the name of Jesus, I bind this. We know, I believe it's in the book of Luke, that Jesus gave us the authority to trample over serpents and scorpions. And we do that also with knowing the word of God. You know, when the devil's whispering in our ear, when the devil's saying these different things, we're able to say, that is not God's word. When the devil's lying, you know the truth. That's why it's so important in spiritual warfare to know the gospel and to know the word of God. Because sometimes the devil, we talked about deceit, is truth with lies sprinkled in. Your lies with some truth sprinkled in. And knowing the whole truth, knowing what God says and the word of God, because we see how the devil tried to trick Jesus with that when Jesus, the Son of God, was in the wilderness for 40 days. The devil was quoting, misquoting scripture at him, twisting scripture, and because Jesus knew the correct scripture, the context along with it, he was like, no. And he quoted scripture back. And rebuked Satan. Someone needs to hear today, you have the authority to, in Jesus' name, command that fear to leave. Command that anxiety to leave. In the name of Jesus, you can rebuke these demonic spirits. In the name of Jesus, you can bind the mocking spirits. In the name of Jesus, you need to, in the name of Jesus, not from a fearful place, from a place of victory, remembering that Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil on the cross. You are operating from a place of victory. My brothers and sisters in Christ, step into your authority and speak against this warfare in the name of Jesus. But those are the first two things I'm telling you. The blood of Jesus and pleading that over yourself, over your friends, over your family, over your life, over whatever is being attacked. And here's another one. Pray for the thing, pray for the vessels that the devil is using against you. Because that's also going to help with forgiveness. If the devil is operating through your parent, through an aunt, through an uncle, through a grandparent, through a sibling, through a best friend, through a coworker, take that person to the Lord. Pray for that person's spirit. Pray for that person's soul to the Lord. Pray that they close whatever doors that the devil is operating through. Pray that they submit their lives to the Lord. Pray that they are healed. Pray that they are being guided by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lot harder for them to be used by the devil if they're surrendered to the Lord. And that's also a way for you to forgive them because you're turning them over to the Lord. Praying for these people consistently is, and from that place of, I pray that they're healed. I pray that they're released. I pray that they're not saying a thing. If I pray they learn the lesson, I pray this. No, I'm saying pray that they are healed. Pray that they give their lives to the Lord. You're turning them over to the Lord. And you're praying from a humble place. You're praying for their blessing. You're blessing those who curse you. Right there, you are doing a lot of things that the Lord has called you to do. So that's the next thing, is pray for those people. Don't curse them. Don't go around gossiping about them. Pray for them. That's a situation. Pray for that situation. Plead the blood of Jesus over it. And next thing I'm telling y'all is continue to praise the Lord. You need to praise him, not just when you're on the hills, but when you're in the valleys as well. You know, in Philippians 4:13, where it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, in that Philippians chapter 4, if you look at the context, Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me despite my circumstances. Like, that isn't Paul just saying, like, God gives me strength to do whatever I want to do. That's Paul saying that even though my circumstances look like unobtainable, unwinnable, like there's no victory, I know that if God's with me, there's going to be victory. I know that if God's with me, the situation's handled. And he goes on to say that he has learned to be content in all circumstances, when he has a lot and when he has nothing. Just as much as you praise and glorify God when he has given you everything and you feel like you're winning, you need to continue to praise and glorify him. Think about the Job season. The reason why the devil took everything from Job was he thought when Job had nothing and was sad and lacking, he was going to curse God. When you find yourself in the valley, do not curse God. You need to praise God. I learned to do that by putting on worship music. I don't listen to a lot of secular music now. And a lot of people don't want to get rid of their secular and carnal music. But I'm telling you right now, if you are listening to music that's talking about fornication, that's talking about drugs, that's talking about manipulation, that's glorifying depression, that's glorifying hatred, that's glorifying all your traumas and everything like that, the power of life and death lies in the tongue, and you're coming into agreement with that. That's another thing that the devil does, is he gets you to come into agreement with things. So I feel like we're backtracking a little bit, but someone needs to hear that today. When the devil tells you lies, the devil will whisper to you that you're just a drunk. You're just a crash out. You're just an angry person. You're just this. You're just that. And you start coming into agreement with saying, yeah, I'm just that. You're stripping away God's ability to move and work in your life. Because God doesn't say that. God doesn't say that you can't be healed. God doesn't say this is just who you are and you're never going to change. God doesn't say that you're not a loving person, that you're not a joyful person, that you're not a self-controlled person. The opposite of self-controlled is crash out. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit that can be developed. You can work on your discernment with the Lord. You can work on being joyful in all situations. You can work on loving your neighbor, loving one another. You can work on being forgiving. These things can be produced in you. But the devil will try to say, you're just this, you're just that. And when you start coming into agreement with that, you start taking out the possibility that God can change that in you. That Jesus can change your situation, that Jesus can heal it. You start looking at situations as the glass half empty instead of half full. You stop seeing these as opportunities to develop the fruits and to grow. And just start seeing them as bad situations. Someone needs to hear today, you need to stop coming into agreement with the devil. You're giving him access in that way too. You need to stop coming into agreement with him. And one way to come into agreement with him is when you're listening to that music all the time. Y'all, I cannot tell you how many times I would put on my secular when I wouldn't think it was that bad. There's some very popular artists now that sing some heart-wrenching songs I used to adore, I used to love. But especially after I gave my life to Christ, I started realizing, isn't it weird how every time I put on the song, I end up depressed? I end up sad? I end up crying? or I end up resentful, or I end up start thinking about that person from 5 years ago, or this situation I felt like wrong to me, or how I don't have this, or how I want this, and all of a sudden I shifted from joy, peace, love, forgiveness, to unforgiveness, to a lack of gratitude, to all these things very subtly. And we tell ourselves, well, it's just a thought, it's just this, I'm not acting on it. Y'all, thoughts produce actions. And you don't have to be hating on someone out loud to be holding them in unforgiveness if that hate is brewing in your heart. Let's be so for real right now. And that's another. So I'm telling y'all, to be praising even in the valleys, find a really good worship music playlist that's glorifying the Lord and start making that what you regularly listen to. If you have road rage problems, put that listen to gospel music in the car. When you're going about to walk into a stressful situation, find the gospel music. That's another thing, y'all. You need to be prayed up. Pray to the Lord. Prayer is your best friend. And I'm sure I'm not gonna be able to cover every single thing, but I'm telling y'all, prayer. Prayer. Praying to God. A big thing is being humble before the Lord and asking Him for the strength. You're not meant to do spiritual warfare on your own strength. You're not meant to do spiritual warfare on your own understanding. You're supposed to rely on God. Because just as this isn't a battle of flesh and blood, it's a battle of principalities, we're not supposed to be fighting with our flesh and blood power, our fleshly brain. We're trusting in God. I want y'all to look at David and Goliath. When David showed up to fight Goliath, David had some stones and he put on the armor of God instead of the physical armor that was given to him. And it was his trust in the Lord and his obeying the Lord to just bring the stones and trust that he was going to take Goliath out that took him out. It wasn't David's own strength. It wasn't David's own cunningness. It wasn't David's own anything. God willed Goliath to be taken down. So walking by faith and submitting to God, yes, God will call us to open up doors and to take certain steps, but He will move supernaturally through those and do things that we would never be capable of doing ourselves. So I'm not saying that spiritual warfare and giving it to God is saying, God, I give this to you and I'm going to sit here on my hands and do absolutely nothing. God will guide your hands. God will guide your steps, just like he guided David. But you see how David didn't have to do some supernatural effort. He was simply submitting to what God aligned. And we also see that God was building up a faith in David long before that Goliath situation happened, because by the time Goliath was showing up and David went up to the king and said, hey, pick me, put me in, coach. He was able to say, I've taken down bears, I've taken down lions. And that's because God had allowed him to go through situations in the past where he was guarding the herd and bam, a lion shows up. Bam, a bear shows up, which at that time might feel like spiritual warfare. A dang it, a bear is here. Dang it, a lion's here. Is it going to take me out? Is it going to kill me? Is it going to hurt me? But those were the opportunities for David to rely on God and God to take those bears and those lions out. That was God building a rapport in David. So that way David could show up and say, hey, look, God has been with me. I faced this situation that looked like there was no victory and God secured victory. I faced this one and God secured victory. So I know God's with me. I know God can do it. The situations I'm sure didn't feel good at the time, but they were building up a faith in David. That's God will use anything for our good, and this warfare isn't pointless. This warfare that you're facing, someone needs to hear that today, is developing something in you. If it's long suffering, if it's self control, if it's love, like I'll tell y'all, for example, spiritual warfare of people trying to gaslight me or trigger me or anything like that, I saw that as God developing like a real spirit of like forgiveness in me, because I had the opportunity to either forgive these people and love them and take them to the Lord, or be unforgiving and angry and crash out. So those are opportunities for that to develop further in me. Love, unconditional love. Self-control. When I tell you all about that temptation that happened when I got offered that provision opportunity that looked shiny and it wasn't, that was a real self-control moment for me. Because in the past, it was something I might have said yes to if I felt like I had no other options, no shot. And warfare was also an opportunity for us to see how much we've progressed from the past. Because the way that you're handling warfare now, and when you handle it in a Christ-like manner, you're able to go like, dude, I would have handled it a totally opposite way 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. That's also a way for the Lord to show you what he has done in your life. Spiritual warfare is going to be used by God. The enemy means it to harm you, but God is going to use it for your good. And I'm just giving you a couple different ways of how to handle warfare, and that is praising God, continuing to praise him, not turning from him. It's praying for the people that the devil is using, praying for the people that the enemy is using. It's deciding not to harden your heart. It's keeping your heart softened. It's not relying on your own strength. It's not relying on your own understanding. It's instead relying on Jesus Christ, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. It's staying into the authority that Jesus Christ has given you. It's rebuking these things. And I'm telling y'all, sometimes the warfare lasts days, sometimes it lasts weeks, sometimes it lasts months. But there's a rest. Don't forget about that rest. And if you are growing weary, be honest with the Lord that you're growing weary and that you need a rest. Pray to him, take it to him. And all of these things, and trust that this is going to end eventually, because that's one thing the devil loves to tell you, that it's just never going to end, and that's always going to be a cycle going round and round. So you might as well just give in. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. God is going to give you a rest, and there's going to be a peace when you come out on the other side of this. And y'all, I'm sure after uploading this and listening through and everything, there might be more that I want to talk about in another episode. Might do a part two to this, but I really want to cover, and I think we covered a lot today, y'all, in spiritual warfare. And I pray that this helps you, because I know when I would have loved, honestly, to have a podcast episode like this when I was really new to warfare as a Christian. And glory be to God, he revealed to me what I needed to know. I wasn't left lacking. I wasn't left without information. And, I learned in the way that he wanted me to learn. But I pray that he uses this episode to get through to you and to give you some information and to give you the strength and the knowledge you need. Don't stop praying. Don't stop obeying the Lord. One really big piece of advice I'm gonna give to y'all today is, I don't care how bad the warfare is getting, how hard it's hitting, don't go backwards. Don't give in to the devil. The relief you'll feel is so temporary. Like, I'm telling y'all, like, the relief you will feel is so temporary, because yes, the pressure to do it might be off for a couple seconds, but right then picks up the grief of you disobeyed the Lord. And not only is it the grief of you disobeyed the Lord, but like, you dishonor yourself, man. All the progress you made, like, and I'm speaking from a place of experience too, guys. I'm not perfect in my walk with Christ. I'm not perfect in the way I've handled warfare. There were times when I gave in to the devil, and it's like minutes later where it was like, I wish I wouldn't have given in to it. Because it felt good for maybe 2 minutes, and now I'm repenting to the Lord. Now I feel guilty for disobeying the Lord. Now I feel guilty for doing this to myself, because I made so much progress, so much work getting here, and in 2 seconds I throw it away. And I'm not saying it can't be picked back up. We can get right back on the horse with the Lord. He is forgiving. But I'm telling y'all that, like, I know from experience and from hearing other people talk, those are the feelings that come right after. It might be a very short feeling of this feels good, but then there's a long period of this feels bad. And yes, there is forgiveness. And yes, there is a restoration and there is a redemption through Jesus Christ. If you fall off the horse, get back on the horse. Go right back to the Lord. He will forgive you a million times over.
All right, y'all. So I think we are going to stop the episode here. I believe this is a good stopping point. Thank you so much for listening, and I truly pray that this episode has helped you. I pray that the Lord has spoken to you, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you through me today, and that this gives you the knowledge that you need to move forward in your walk with Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I do ask that you subscribe to the podcast wherever it is you're listening to podcasts. Share this with people that you know. Share this with someone that you think is needing to hear about spiritual warfare. Share with someone who has no idea who Jesus is. Share this with whoever you feel it placed on your heart needs to hear this podcast. Tune in for the next episode. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. Have a wonderful day. God bless.